We are continuing with our 2 week word about laying a faith focused foundation. I quote hymnology a lot because it has so much theology in it, and I quote it. My hope is built. Well, there's another lyric of that very same hymn that says when all around my soul gives way. Well, we're in a time right now where our souls are giving way. The load and the problems of what we're dealing with in our world today, it's weighing people down. Lynn said something just kind of casually a moment ago, but it's very, very true about things being removed from us and what it creates in our heart and in our psyches and in our spirits, even in our just moving around. Is it a little more crazy around here? Have you just gone through a grocery aisle right now and watched somebody with a buggy trying to get to something right now? Have you seen the reach, the grab? Just drive in the car right now, and somebody just want to beat you to a light. There's a different kind of frenzy feel, but we cannot lay any other foundation than a faith-focused foundation. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says it this way, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have. That is Christ Jesus." That's where we started last week. That's where we continue. But now our foundations are in deep disrepair. We have these problems in our world today. You know, you remove comfort things. And, I mean, they know that even when they're dealing with torture and mind control. You remove items of comfort, you remove people from their comfort zone, and that's when you start seeing people starting to come apart. And what we have done, we have removed people out of their traditions, out of their habits. We've even covered their faces so we cannot see an expression. So you don't realize how many social hints you pick up by just a facial expression. But there's an isolation that happens when we have stopped and made so many, many changes there. When you take away a person's right to go somewhere, when you've taken away relating, when you've put them in their houses for a year, the mental illness is spiking through the roof right now because the foundation, that which we recognize, that which has been comfortable, that which we understand has been removed from our lives, and we don't have this anymore. And that's where we are. And I said it this way right now. We have rampant insanity going on because we have removed the foundations of old. And on every level, that statement works. It works on every level right now. Our world is in darkness. And I want to say this loving to you. And I think this is a pretty good clinical medical term to describe it. People are nuts right now. People are nuts right now. People are crazy. Some of the things that come out of people's mouths right now. I've seen these. We've all seen the social media. These people that are losing their minds in restaurants. These people that are just going berserk and doing crazy things like that. This happens when you isolate. This happens when you remove that which is familiar, that which is comfortable, when they're not able to go to someone. And what's been done to poor older folks that have been by them and left to die all by themselves without a hand. And I've got a dear friend that passed away earlier this year, and they made the family get on a PA on a little speaker box and stand through another window and wave and say, "We love you, Dad. You're dying." Boom, and that's it. That was all they had there. People are nuts right now. The news story came out last week. A lady in Houston, Texas, got the report that her husband was, not her husband, her little boy, her young 12-year-old son, had tested positive, and she didn't want to catch it, and she put the boy in the trunk to drive him home. That's nuts. Put him in the trunk. A writer has been banned from social media for commenting on a game show contestant. All he did was say, "Oh no, that's not a man who. I mean, that's not a lady who won $1 million. That's not new history. That's not the first time. That's a guy there." And all he did was point that out. And that hate speech, he's been taken off all of social media, and he's in real jeopardy right now. A woman was convicted just 2 weeks ago for trafficking children and promoting sex with little children and selling young girls. And the woman was convicted on all but one count. She's all convicted. Now, if this is true and they've been convicted, who are the customers? But no, a judge said, "No, this is not apropos. This is not, we don't need to fool with this. We're going to seal the rest of this." That's nuts. Last week, We sorrow for the University of Pennsylvania. Their transgender swimmer lost to Yale's transgender swimmer. And the headline said, this was the exact quote, Penn's transgender swimmer lost to Yale's transgender swimmer in a hotly contested women's Ivy League 100-meter race. And nobody spoke out. A headline in one of the national newspapers this week said U.S. schools are closing again as children's mental health has been declared a health crisis. So what are they doing? They're isolating the little children more. School boards and intelligence agency are now joining together to designate parents as domestic terrorists. Just this week, the USA Today described pedophilia as this, exact quote, inappropriate, but, quote, among the most misunderstood conditions in America. That's nuts. That's perverted. That's demonic. I don't care what you can paint it and call it something else. USA, it's the most misunderstood condition in America. See, here's what's real crazy, the willingness to legitimize anything except Judeo-Christian solutions. And that is the foundation of old. That's the foundation of old. Even flawed founders use that as a foundation of old. And you can be just as crazy as a June bug, but if you use the right foundation, what you build is not going to fall down. We're living in a time we're facing. What we're facing is by design. What we're facing today is premeditated. It's demonic. It's from hell. And many of the genius are the anarchists. They're calling for what is called a great reset. Now, let me tell you what that really means. That's code for a world without the principles of Jesus Christ. That's for a world without Israel. That's a world without families, the nuclear family as we've been raised, without a mom and dad. It's to make them all even. And whether it's you, your little, or your little boyfriend, or your dog, whatever it is, it is without personal property at its end result. It's without rewards for any kind of labor that we do. That's against Scripture. It's against borders, boundaries, and it's against mostly Bibles. We don't need a great reset. Somebody said the other day, and it was a very well-meaning person, but you could tell there's no spiritual, and this person was crying out, what we need is a fundamental cultural awakening. No, sweetheart, we don't need a great reset. We need a great revival. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, if we want revival, we must revive our reverence for the Word of God. If we want revival, we must revive our reverence for the Word of God. If you want a reset, you must revive your reverence for the foundation of old, for there is no other foundation but of Jesus Christ. You can't build on anything. You remove that component. You remove that component. And it's like when you bake that cake and then you realize you left one ingredient out and it doesn't work. If you want, you got to have reverence. So I'm laying a faith-focused foundation. Paul is writing in the book of Colossians, which we'll go to in just a few minutes. We spent a lot of time and we will continue in that in just a moment from right now. In Colossians 2, he's writing from jail to the church in Colossae. It was a note of encouragement, but it's also a note of correction, and it's also a note of preventative maintenance, okay? Preventative maintenance. You know, in the isolation here, I want to know how come we've not heard national groups and health groups talk about preventative medicine. I've not heard about sunshine for children. I've not heard about getting outside to play a little bit. I've not heard about that jog. I've not heard losing some weight. I've not heard any of those things there. You just do what we say and it will be all right. Well, we have found out that's not true. It's not true. And from the top, and they know it's not true from the intention, even from the founding. And the head little guy needs to be cuffed. Here we are right now. There's a problem going on. Preventative maintenance. What's preventative maintenance for your life? Paul, what's preventative maintenance for you? What's preventative, Lynn, for you? The preventative maintenance for you is the most Christ-centered book in Scripture. Colossians 1 is right here for you. That because the quest is to make our lives Christ-centered. Colossians 1, last week I gave you 8 words to describe Colossians, this chapter. It says Jesus made it all. and Jesus paid it all. That's all you need to know. That is your foundation. This is your starting point. You can go and you can answer the question of the one who was sincerely crying out but did not know God by saying, we need a fundamental cultural awakening. No, we don't. We need a revival of God's word. If we keep this in front, we're going to be okay. Because when you are fearful, discouraged, tired, when you're angry, and when you're weary, you make some dumb moves. Am I the only one? Somebody said it this way: never trust how you feel about your entire life past 9 p.m. Anybody like that? Late at night, you just evaluated your whole life. Don't make a dumb decision when you're tired, weary, and upset, and you've had a bad day. Don't evaluate your life at that point in time right now. Run to the Word. So we pick up with Colossians. We started in the air, but I want to pick up, and I'm going to cherry pick some things because we're not going to read the whole thing. Verses 15 and 16, it says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. You got it? The most Christ-centered chapter in Scripture. You got it? Now, the Amplified, and it says he existed before anything was created. It's supreme over all creation. Now, that verse right there, the Amplified, I'm going to just read it to you. Listen. The Amplified says this verse this way: now he is the exact likeness of the unseen God, the visible representation of invisible. He is the firstborn of all creation. And verse 16 now in my New Living says, for through him, and I like to say and by him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see, the things we can't see, such as thrones even, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. Now, fast forward, move up to verse 19. For God, in all of his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. Leave that up there. The Amplified says it this way: the sum total of the divine perfection, powers, and attributes. He is the sum total of all of those things. And verse 20 in the New Living, and through him. Now notice that through him there. Notice that statement there. You remember when Jesus said that I am the vine, you are the branches. If you're not hooked into me, you can't do anything. There's no life. There's no nourishment there. And through him, that means in all of his fullness, that means that he's the conduit of everything right now. He's the fullness. He's fully God and fully man. In fact, the Amplified of that verse says it this way: he is the sum total of divine perfection. And through him, verse 20, the divine conduit of life, the divine conduit of the word. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth. Everything, all the books were balanced by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Now, notice this statement here. Through him, everything is working there. In other words, we can't live without him. Paul was moved with this concept. In fact, this truth was probably one of the core points of all of his ministry, all of his messages. And he stayed on message, and wherever he was, he always ended up back there. Have you ever, do you remember the old-timers? They used to sing, in him we live and move, and have our be. You remember that? Paul wrote those words. Watch this. We're going to have a great story. I told you, he always stayed on message. Where'd that come from? How does this connect? This connects to a faith-focused foundation that works in our culture, and it's more than a fundamental cultural awakening. It is a spirit of revival. Acts 17, verse 22. It said, Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus. He'd been in Athens walking through, and he saw a lot of things there going, a lot of statues. And he said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're very, very religious. He walked, the little bit of the backstory, we don't have time for all of it today. He walked in and he saw in this city, he saw all these monuments to their gods. Whoever their god was, they were able to build a monument. And there was one, though, right in the middle of all of it, and the inscription on it said, to the unknown god. That's that is the all of the above. That's in case we miss something. You heard the story of the little Baptist boy, and he'd been staying the weekend with his little Catholic friends, and he came home that night, and they sat down to pray for dinner, and the dad prayed for the God is great, God is good, and when it was over, the little boy crossed himself, and they said to him, he said, you're Baptist, we don't do that. He said, but Jimmy does it, and we better do it in case they're right, he said. To the unknown God, in case somebody's right. Notice that statement. Now, you're seeing a little bit. You're not seeing a country preacher here. You're seeing a guy that was really educated. He knew the ropes. He knew the arguments. He was able to walk in, and he had a little bit of erudite feel at time. He could turn on when he needed to do it, and he stood up. You know, some of y'all would have run in there banging a drum. You're all heathen. You're going to hell right now. How many know you're not? They're not going to hear one word you say right there. But you're seeing something really, really cool. He said, as I was passing through, and he probably said, like in the language of today, as I was passing through your great city. Okay, you don't say, this pagan hole? No, as I was passing through your great city and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with the inscription. There's a lot of insight here. I mean, there's a lot of finesse here. You can learn from this, all right? You can learn from this. You're not called to be a tank. You're called to be wise. You're called to be smart. You're called to be very, very smart. Now watch this. I found on the altar the inscription to the unknown God. Now watch Paul do a gospel pivot. This is so cool. Therefore, this is perfect. The one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. Genius. That is genius. That is genius. Sometimes I have people that don't know God from a hole in a wall. They don't know anything, but I talk to them like they do, and not in a demeaning thing, but I'll say, and you know what? It's just God did this, and it was really, really, really good, and I just make it the most normal thing in the world there, and then I just move on. I'm not there to hit them in the head with a cymbal. I am there just to say, God's done these great things. Notice how smooth he is, and I proclaim that to you. Who is that? Now remember what he's going to write later to the Colossians? This is to prove to you this was the thread in his whole life. God who made the world and everything in it, you'll see him affirm that later to the Colossians, since he is the Lord of heaven, the Lord of earth, he does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined that their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. God knew all, saw all, knew how it was going to pan out, so that they should seek the Lord. You are going through some things right now, and God is allowing some things to happen because God is going to teach a big lesson. God's teaching a big lesson. When this thing ends up, it's going to be God's word was true all along. God's word was true all along. I'm not wild about his timeline, but it's going to prove that God was right all along right now. He said he has made all these people together. Verse 27, so that they should seek the Lord. I got you? That's how you get a faith-focused foundation. In the hope that we sang about, in the hope that they might grope for him and they would find him. Seek me and you will find. Though he is not far from each of us. We read the words that were written later in Romans. The word is near you. That is the word of faith in your mouth that we preach. In verse 28, for in him we live. We move, we have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. He took all these things that he pulled, and it's genius. This is a genius dissertation. He took the positive. You know, when you're coaching somebody, whatever it is, and I've done, and you find, or you're dealing with kids, you find that one positive thing. Hey, Joey, that was good, but next time we do this, look at it this way. Maybe consider this. And we were talking to the other night on the radio. We were talking to Mark Schlesinger the other night from UNO, the coach of UNO. And poor Mark, we've watched him. He almost loses his mind sometimes on the sideline. But we were talking about how different it was, how different it is now in coaching. Some kids, you got to bark in their face. Others, you just got to kind of pet. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay, Joey. You can do this the next time. He is a masterful coach, and he's bringing it all. This, I love this. And this is so strong. In him we live. In him we move. We have our own being. For we are also his offspring. He's making it relatable, the foundation of his life and ministry. Now let's go back to Colossae. Now you would think, after we read the word in Colossians 1, how he encouraged them and told him who Christ was and how he should be prominent and how them not to fall for the traps of bad doctrine. Really, that was the corrective part of the note. If you weren't here last week, I said history probably proves that Paul never even visited Colossae. He never even went there. But he said, I heard about you. And he likely never went there. You would think that if you get an encouraging word from an apostle, everything would go well. Don't you think so? Well, let me back up. Jesus comes on the scene. They're all excited. One day, 5,000 men, there's more people than that, are listening to him. They're hungry. They want to eat. What are we going to do, Master? Brings the boy up. You know what happens? That happens. His first miracle, he turned water into wine. Many, many people were there. Many people were hanging around when they busted the ceiling off that little room that day and lowered their buddy. Many of them were there that day on the side of the mountain hiding behind the rocks and the trees when he went to the graveyard and started screaming, Lazarus, come forth. Mary and Martha said, Jesus, we appreciate your kindness, but he's been dead 4 days. It's getting pretty ripe inside that cave right now. It didn't bother him. And as I used to sing, when he's 4 days late, he's still on time. Many people saw that. But yet here we are. At his darkest hour, he was alone. They tried. They had sampled the bread. They had sampled the fish. They had the new wine. But when it came time, they weren't there. And only after the resurrection do they start coming back. And Scripture tells us that at least 500 people saw him after the resurrection. You would think it would be smooth sailing and everybody would hear that word and believe it. But consequently, within 100 years, they were already trying to kill all the people. And every one of those disciples gave their lives, except one. There's a sad underpinning to the story of Colossae. The truth is, they did not continue in this truth. And I think we're at this spot right now. We're at this spot right now in our individual lives, in our world, in our nation. Somebody said God has left America. No, America left God. You got it backwards. And here we are right now. Colossae was a small city. It was fairly insignificant except for the fact there was a group of believers there. That's the only real significant thing there, really. And that's what made it important. Paul said, I've heard about you guys. I love what you've done. But later what happened, because it was a smaller city, there was a region there. Hierapolis, I believe is how they say it, Laodicea and Colossae, they were all kind of linked together because of the way it was laid out. And Laodicea actually engulfed everything that Colossae had to offer. And it was actually located at the junction of several important trading routes. And combined together, it was a great center of trade, banking, medicine, manufacturing, the arts. And they had everything they needed there, but the little city with the little identity, it was swallowed up. It was swallowed up by the Laodicean church there. And here's their report card. It's not really a good report card. When you read Laodicea, when you read in the book of Revelation, it's actually that group, that city, Colossae, had gotten taken over or annexed by them, if you will. And in the report card of this church that Paul wrote an important letter to, keep Christ the center of everything. He made everything. Everything. And in him you live, you move, you have your being. Sherry, pick up at verse 15 of chapter 3, if you would, sweetie. Here's what the angel was saying to the Laodiceans, the word of the Lord in Revelation. He said, I know your works. Stop right there. I know your works. Now, this is a big change from the statement that Paul made when he said, I've heard all about you. I hear good things about you guys. I hear some good things there. Now it's a report card. I know about your works. I know who you are. And here's what I know about you. He said, you are neither hot, nor cold, nor hot. I wish that you would be cold or you would be hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, you're not cold, you're not hot, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Now, that's pretty drastic for God to tell you that. You know that? You want loving God. You've got those pictures in your kitchen of loving Jesus. No, I want to vomit you guys up. It's kind of like when they sent the two boys back to Darla, and she was supposed to give the word from alfalfa, and they did not give the right word, and instead of saying I love you, I hate your stinking guts, and it came out wrong, and the little rascals are in trouble because of the interpretation was bad. We watched it over and over with our boys. I'm going to vomit you right out of my mouth. You're a rock in my shoe, is what he's telling those people right now. And you know why? Remember I told you? Because they combined. They had a lot of wealth there. They had a lot of industry there. They were educated. There was trading. There was banking. There was medicine. There were arts. Man, and their roads all led, and it just was a perfect place there. But they got so intoxicated on what they had that they forgot that Christ was the center. I'm going to throw you up because you say, I'm rich. We've become wealthy. We don't need anything. But you don't know. Again, here's Dale Carnegie. You are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy. Now, what he is saying there, he's not talking about economy. He's talking about buying into the message. You got the word there? I want you to buy into what I'm saying. When you buy into something, you are investing in it. You believe this is correct. I believe this is going to be the thing. I'm asking you to buy into this. Buy into me. Buy into my words. I want you to buy from me gold that's been refined in the fire that you may be rich. He's using something they can understand to tell a heavenly meaning. And the white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and that it would anoint your eyes with an eye salve that you may see. All the things they thought they had, and they had fooled themselves. It was more than just an emperor with no clothes on. It was a nation who that was bankrupt and did not even know it. But notice, even in the midst of this rebuke, what loving God says, because he loves us. And he says, as many as I love, I rebuke, I chasten. Therefore, be zealous. Stop in your tracks right now. Do a 180 right now. Be zealous and repent. And notice the hand is out. Watch this. You learned this scripture as a little kid in Sunday school. You've probably one of the first scriptures, after God so loved the world. This is probably the second scripture you learned. And in verse 20, he said, for behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. I will dine with him and he with me. I've said some pretty tough, that's hard things. He said some tough things. He said, I want to vomit you out. You're wretched. You're ugly. And your mother dresses you funny. He said everything there. He told him everything. But he says, I want you to know I'm still at your door. If America would answer that door, things would change. If the people, if the leaders of our world, they would change. If the World Health Organization, if the corrupt UN, that ever happened, things would change if we would open the door. And by the way, you saw the famous picture we did a couple years ago, that famous picture of Jesus at the door, and we found out one unusual thing about that famous picture. Does anybody remember about that famous picture? What was unusual about the outside of the door? Anybody know what it was? There was no door handle nor doorknob on the outside there. It has to be opened from the inside. Oh, wow. He's told him, you're wretched, you're awful. I know your works. They're not good. But behold, I stand at the door and knock. And to him who overcomes, I love this. I mean, he has just dusted them, but he says, you can still turn. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, and I also, as I also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. And notice this. About eight times in Revelation, you see this final tag word, this final word. Guys, if you're married, you know you don't have the final word. And you will notice the final word at our house is usually, well, I'm just saying. Here's Jesus, God, John, everybody speaking together. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit would say to the churches. He told them, you fell for every fable. You allowed fear, pride, and covetousness to knock you off your foundation. Now you are lukewarm. Remember that word lukewarm? Why do you think you use that word lukewarm? Or watch this. They had no way to get their water naturally from where they were situated. They had to pump water from the other city called Hierapolis. Originally, it was called the City of Zeus, by the way. And they had to build an aqueduct system to get the water from there. Now, the water that began from its beginning was coming from hot springs that was full of minerals and sulfur that was useful there. But by the time the water got to Laodicea, it was lukewarm. It was not useful. It was full of nasty, those minerals that tasted bad. Now, cold water has a purpose. Hot water has a purpose. Lukewarm water has none. The area was thriving in wealth. They had turned down even money. And history says they even had turned down money from Rome to rebuild some of those areas. They turned it all down. They had the best wool in all of the land. They had established the banking and financial center. But the only thing they didn't have in the natural was the water or the life that it afforded. So without water, there is no life. They became complacent following God. They quit following the word. And they just became okay with how it went with their own thing. And as worshipers of other gods, they became neutral. And worse than that, they became indifferent to God. And you're going to have a problem if you get indifferent to God. So consequently, God says, you're lukewarm. Boom. Remember Paul? He related to them on their level. I've said this many times. The genius of Scripture, and you need to understand this too. When you're dealing with somebody, where's the ball? You've got to play the ball where it is. Play the ball where it is. The woman's at the well. What did Jesus talk about? Water. Peter's out there fishing. What did he say to him? Yeah, I'll teach you how to fish, but I'm going to teach you how to fish for men. You know, do you understand here? Do you see how this word covers everything? Stop the who said that we were foolish and didn't? I'm giving you the foundation of everything. Jesus Christ is the foundation. They were just okay as worshipers of other gods. They became neutral and indifferent in their faith. So God was ready to spew out the nasty taste. And by the way, you might, just in a passing moment, Laodicea was, what disaster did you say you'd hate to be in? You said earthquake in the car. Laodicea was destroyed by an earthquake. Their foundations were destroyed. And all their good works and all their talent and all their value, it was all gone in a heart. It was destroyed because they did not heed the word. So what's your assignment right now? Your assignment is to build your life on the faith-focused foundation. How can I do this in 2022? Everything I hear is against standing against it. And if I say something, people think I'm some kind of nut. No, you stand strong on the word. Back to chapter 1. And this is what I read for you 3 weeks ago, because this is all chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard of you, we didn't cease to pray for you and ask God you may be filled. Remember when that first chapter is full, how many times he said that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all and spiritual understanding, verse 10, that you may walk worthy, not be lukewarm, fully pleasing God, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in your knowledge, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. I'm not really wild about the long-suffering thing, but it's there. And that is the statement there where I said the Message Bible said that you would have strength to endure the unendurable. I think this is where we came in 3 weeks ago. And giving thanks to the Father who has qualified. I love that qualified you. That's in verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. I qualified. I passed my test. It's okay for me to do it. I can do it now. They ran Tyler through the rigors of everything. Not a dude can wheel around a big red fire truck. His brother would never do that. He wiped out mailboxes. He could never do that. This boy right here, he can drive a fire truck now. You get qualified. You're qualified to be a partaker. And at the end of this chapter, verse 27, is the secret that I lay in your lap today. Christ lives in you. And this gives you the assurance that you will be sharing his glory, or the Amplified says there, the hope or the realizing of his glory. If I can do anything today, I want to encourage you, you're not alone. You're not alone. I don't know, we've all felt alone a little bit. We felt alone in our belief and what we felt in our heart because we didn't see anything at all saying those things. That's why we go to one another and we feel, and that's been taken away from us, the assurance that we have. But David felt this way. Moses felt that way. The great people of Scripture felt this way. At times they had the same desire to say, God, help me, but they realized they needed the same foundation that we're working with today. Here's how David described the faith-focused foundation in Psalm 118, verse 21. Lord, I just want to thank you for answering my prayer and giving me victory. Now, who did that? Who did that? Who did that? No person did that. But he's understanding that conventional wisdom actually rejected the one who answered his prayer and gave him victory. Because in the very next verse, in 22, he said, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone, the foundation, the focal point, where the whole structure begins, where all the stress levels are held, where everything works together. And you know what he said in verse 23? This is the Lord's doing, and it's wonderful to see. The world has rejected the faith-focused foundation for the whole world to see. So what are you going to say in the midst of that? You're going to say verse 24. Roy, wake up. Ready? Verse 24, my last verse on the page. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Stand up with me right now and say that with me. Come on. I want you to put back 23, and then we'll do 24. 23, ready? This is the Lord's doing. Ready? This is the... Stop. If you got to sell... There's punch words when you speak. When you sing, there are punch words. And you hear somebody, and you emphasize a word, and you're going to go, this, and meaning all this, okay? And I want you to sell this thing to the back door. Ready? I want you, ready, go. This is the Lord's doing, and it's wonderful to see. What's the next statement? You go, and this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Do it again. Go back to the other verse. Get louder this time. Ready? This is the Lord's doing. And it's wonderful to see. The next verse. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we'll be glad in it. Run with that, y'all, in Jesus' name right now. Run with that. Father, we love you. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for the touch that is on our lives today. We thank you for each one. Lord, let's don't take these words lightly. We see history has showed us what happens to nations and to cities and to churches that take the word lightly. Let us look at it afresh. Let us not be fearful. We're not alone in our belief and in our struggle. There are others just like us, but I say that this is the Lord's doing. This is the Lord's doing, and this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Some of you guys might want to put that on your social media. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. Stop the cat pictures for a week. But this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. Put that for a couple days and people are starting to say, what's wrong with you? Nothing. This is the Lord's doing. Aren't you afraid? This is the Lord's doing. He is control. His fingerprints are over all of this thing. His fingerprints are upon every bit of creation. Everything, it says everything you see and everything you can't see. He's all over it. He's there right now. His DNA, his blood is flowing in my veins. Because I am a child of God, and he is the center, the focal point, the building. And although they reject him, doesn't matter. He is the one that brought me life and victory, David said. That is for you right now. Put your right hands up right now. Some of you are here this morning. There's a great need in your heart. I want you to make a constant focus of the next few days. Forget the need right now, but what can you read that would lay a stronger foundation in your heart? What will build your faith? Run to those things right now. You might have to shut something off. What will build your faith right now? Make that effort to see how close you can get. Let that report card say, I've heard about you. I've seen your faith. I know the good things that you can do. And even in that difficulty, we can say, this is the Lord's doing because my heart is right toward him. I want to lay that foundation. And as I walk through today, I say, this is the day. Right hands up. May the Lord bless each one of you today. May the Lord keep each one of you today. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and grant you peace in Jesus' name in your coming and going.